Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Tom Bernard Show, except it's not the Tom Bernard Show, or should I say the family, but it's not the family either. It is the...
Where is the family?
It's the Andy, Dave, and Josh Show with...
Officer Dave.
And Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk.
Yeah, Tom is currently at a meeting with some advertisers, and Lord knows where the other two are. We never know where they are on Friday. So we have some news that I don't think either of you are going to care so much about, but the millennials in our audience are going to be sad to learn that Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball Z, has died. All we know is that he had a subdural hematoma, which is usually caused by a head injury. He was 68, I believe. So, I mean, that is the age where you have to start being careful about falling in the shower and things like that.
Oh, my kids were big into Dragon Ball Z.
Everyone under the age of probably 40-ish watched Dragon Ball Z at some point when they were kids.
Yep.
And the entire country of Mexico is mourning because Dragon Ball Z is weirdly huge there.
Is it really?
Yeah, for some reason. But other than that...
I have no idea. Of course. Dragon Ball?
You don't know Dragon Ball? Well, how old are your kids?
My kids are 44, 42, and 37.
Oh, so the 37-year-old probably watched it at some point.
I don't think so.
No? Not an anime fan?
I do not think she watched Dragon Ball.
Huh. Well, some of our audience did. I know that much because someone in the chat...
You watched Dragon Ball.
Oh, yeah. I was super big into Dragon Ball Z for a long time. I mean, I was probably 12 years old at the time, so that was a long time ago.
Yep.
But I mean, he did Chrono Trigger. He did Dragon Quest. And he did a bunch of other things that Westerners aren't going to know about, but those are the two big ones for the elder millennials in the crowd, which I'm assuming there aren't too many of, but there's at least a few.
There's a few of you.
Mm-hmm.
Geez, I cannot even take that as a segue into talking about some of the gaming companies, like Electronic Arts or Activision or Take-Two Interactive.
Well, Dragon Quest was Square Enix game. So how about Square Enix? There you go.
Don't think that is public, at least here in the United States.
I wonder, actually, Square Enix stock. Are they public?
So you can go look. But
nope.
Usually I will hear something and then I will segue into a particular stock. Before I mention anything more about stocks, do be mindful that these are any stocks that I talk about and their results, non-results, are based on my research, my opinions. They may not be suitable for you. All stocks are volatile. They do go up and down. You can lose money. And before you make any decision about stocks, please consult a financial advisor like myself.
There you go. You got your plug in.
How's that for disclaimer?
Get your daily plug in. I like it.
There you go.
Well, that's it, Super Dave. Gotta plug yourself. Have to promote yourself.
Exactly.
That's what you're here for.
I mean, there was an awful lot of promotion going on last night at the State of the Union address. But I really do not want to talk about politics, but there was an awful lot of self-promotion in that particular address and a lot of blame going on.
Did you listen to it, Dave?
Yeah,
I don't think I've listened
time.
To a State of the Union address in my life.
It's all just how more me now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's the thing about politicians is you can't really pay attention to what they say, but what they do. And the
exactly.
State of the Union address is just them saying things.
Yep.
So it kind of feels like, I don't know.
About how
well,
great
that's
they
why
are.
I didn't hold, stay with the whole thing. I mm-hmm. Read the reviews before and read the reviews after. And all I know is your dad doesn't pay his fair share, Andy.
Of course not.
Of taxes.
And that's aside from all the tax evasion he does.
But he doesn't pay his fair share. And I do know that several of the largest corporations in the country pay little or no tax. And you, Super Dave, the tax burden is only on you.
It's a good thing I got big shoulders, Josh. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And if we could shift that tax burden to all those big corporations who aren't paying their fair share, why, we and the government can spend more money and you can pay less in taxes.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, but we just got our Hennepin County property tax statement.
Oh, yeah.
For a third of an acre, $6,200.
$6,200.
Yep. You see why I don't
hold
like
on. Is that mm-hmm. just the land, or is that the land and your house?
Land and house.
Yeah, it's based on the assessed value of the property.
Exactly.
But that's still quite a bit. I mean, a third of an acre is a decent plot of land, but it's not going to be holding any mansions on
no,
it.
No, definitely not.
Well, not. Well, that depends on the neighborhood you live in.
That's a nice neighborhood.
That's true, yes.
Yeah.
No, I am very serious. It depends on the neighborhood that you live in. I was just down in Tampa last week, and I went running through several neighborhoods. And
who's chasing
the closer you are to the water, a lot of the older houses in Tampa are getting blown up. So smaller ranch style houses, no basement, probably two or three bedroom houses, one car garage on a third of an acre or less. Those houses are getting blown up.
And
and you're seeing big houses put on those little lots.
That happens here a lot where I used to work. Every little ranch house was being tore down and bought for $500,000 and mm-hmm. then torn down in a big two-story monster, literally filling every square foot of yard space being built.
I've always wanted to buy a tiny plot of land and build a house that's like 15 stories tall, but each story is just one room.
There you go.
Just build a big tower and see what they think about it.
There are zoning requirements that would probably just not allow that to happen.
Well, absolutely.
Well, wait a minute. No. I'm going to beg to differ with you guys.
No? You can build my tower?
Because you guys are younger, you can check this out. Now, if Andy were to buy that small plot of land in Minneapolis, and let's say that he bought it on my old block, on Drew Avenue South, between 46th and 47th Street.
I'm trying to find that
so
on Google
a block
Maps.
From Southwest High School.
Okay, yeah.
And
I see it now.
Under the 2040 plan in Minneapolis, which is calling for more density.
Yep, that's right.
Andy could, in fact, build his 10 or 15-story house going straight up, and that could fall within the parameters.
Does that apply to single family house? Because that's not really density. It's volume.
Well, you could have several people living there.
Well, I could build it as a condo.
Yeah.
I could build it as a condo, but then rent every unit to myself.
That's true.
There you go. So I'd have 15 houses stacked on top of one another.
Well, the beauty is you'd never have to go upstairs, downstairs.
That's true.
And you could just, whatever room you're in.
Once your house gets dirty, you just go up a floor and abandon the old one. You're good for a while.
Yeah, you got 15 weeks, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Once a quarter, you have somebody come in and clean living in.
Sounds like a good plan to me. Might be a little wasteful, but you know.
Well, you've got some very expensive plumbing that you're going to have to put in there for that.
Well, just one pipe going straight up.
as long as you stack everything up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would want to insulate that pipe pretty good because there's going to be a lot of noise.
By the time it hits floor
down.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I can just see you guys thinking a lot of noise coming down and they have one pipe going up. Yeah, where is that going to come from? Okay, well, you guys just think about that one for a little bit.
Joe got us some news from Louisville. So there is you might have seen this somewhat famous picture online, a semi-truck hanging over the edge of a bridge. It's right outside of Louisville. It's a high up suspension bridge, and the cab is off the bridge, hanging over the water. The only thing keeping it.
This is a famous picture or just a recent picture?
It's a recent picture, but it's going around because it's pretty awful. The only thing holding it onto the bridge is the what's the cargo container?
The weight of the trailer.
The trailer, yes.
It's called the trailer?
Yep, it's stuck on the bridge via the trailer, but the rest of the truck is off the bridge hanging there. And it was caused by a electric vehicle that someone bought that just suddenly died on the bridge.
Ooh.
And the semi-truck driver didn't see it in time, slammed into it, or I think maybe swerved to avoid, a straight slamming into it.
Uh-huh.
And once that happened, she was hanging over the bridge, hundreds of feet above the water.
Not good.
Fun stuff.
That's one. Okay, that's one. Go ahead, Josh.
No, I was going to say, was the driver of the semi rescued?
Yes, she was hanging 100 feet over the Ohio River. Everything happened at 12 o'clock. I don't know how long she was there, but I know she was there for quite a while. I think she was hanging there for like an hour.
Ooh.
Can you imagine sitting in a cab hanging over the... Because at 100 feet, you hit the water. You're not going to survive.
Yeah, you're not going to survive that.
But movies will make you think that if you fall into water, no matter the height, you're going to be all right. But that is not true.
And I'm sure 99% of it was the rescue workers figuring out a plan to stabilize the truck.
Well, yeah, that's
trailer.
The thing. You can't just climb down there and grab her because then two people die.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
that would be fun. But if I was dad, I would talk about how he had a Tesla Roadster that had the power of the problem of bricking.
Yep.
We like to make fun of that in the chat whenever he brings up bricking. It's got to be once a week.
Well, I think it's a couple
times.
That's
one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that electric vehicles aren't selling.
It is. People are
all
they don't trust them.
Yep.
In the stocks. The only electric vehicles that people seem to trust, at least here in the United States, are Teslas.
Yep, I see Teslas everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of Teslas out there.
I see Teslas everywhere in Minnesota, which is just weird to me. Like, those things can't possibly be good in a foot of snow. There's just no way.
Well, they're heavy, and if you get the right tires...
That's true, a lot of traction.
You know, you get really good traction. The problem, though, is
clearance?
Also, but nobody goes out, unless you're a first responder or something. There's really no reason to leave your house anymore during a blizzard or a snowstorm.
If you got to get to work. Well, I've driven on 394 when there has to have been a foot and a half of snow just to get home from work. I was at home. I wasn't going to sleep there.
No, I get that. So. But a lot of people think that they have to go to work, and it's like, well, nowadays you can dial in so darn easy.
Well, that's true, but what if you're at work and a blizzard rolls
in? Well, then you're stuck. Then you gotta get home.
That's what happened to me, and it took me 2 hours to get home.
But there were plenty of mornings when I'd be going to work in a snowstorm and 12 hadn't been plowed. And
you yep.
know, thank God I had my monster truck to get to and from work.
Yep. Yeah, even our we have a Nissan Rogue Sport,
mm-hmm.
which is it's a proper SUV. But this one time, actually during our honeymoon, so we were at the cabin. We honeymooned at a cabin in South Dakota over in the Black Hills. And it had to have snowed 2 feet in, like, a day. And we were like, well, we need to, like, get food, mm-hmm. but we have an SUV, so we'll just, you know, shovel a little bit and head on out. That didn't work.
Oh, no.
So, and that's an SUV, so trying to do that in, like, a little four-door sedan,
yes.
we would have been stuck for a week.
Yep.
I don't know. I wouldn't have a sedan in a very snowy area unless I had a good backup plan.
Yeah, that's a reason why I still to this day have a great big pickup truck.
Yeah, it helps.
So
until you have to stop at an intersection when it's icy, then
you just have to plan better. Andy.
Yeah, you have to stop 3 blocks in advance is all.
Well, I'm one of those people who lives in a suburban neighborhood. I do have a sedan, I do have rear-wheel drive, and I do have my winter tires, and I make sure not to go out until the streets are plowed,
yep.
and if there's a chance of a blizzard,
mm-hmm.
leave work early.
That reminds me of something. So we were watching some movie or something where they put on snow chains on their tires.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
we did that when I was much younger.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, well, you can't do that anymore. But then I looked it up and apparently you can do that.
Chains are different than studs.
You can still put your tires. You can put chains on your tires.
You can put chains on your tires.
Oh, wow. I thought they outlawed that because it tore up the pavement.
No, it's the metal studs in your tires you can't do.
Oh, interesting. I haven't seen someone chain their tires in probably 30 years, but. No. I also don't live up north where I'm sure they do it all the time.
They do it a lot more often, yes.
But, I mean, there's times where, I don't know, nice chains might improve my commute.
Yep.
Just leave them in your trunk.
Yep. Well, I had a friend whose dad was, he'd always have Ford Rangers. That was, had no reason for a big truck, but he'd chain up all the time, lived in Duluth.
Huh.
Chain up his tires all the time.
Not that it's relevant this year.
No.
What, did we get a grand total of a foot of snow this year?
I think so.
Jeez. Yeah.
Well, we've had an awful lot of rain.
That's
true. And if
you
convert the rain into snow,
mm-hmm.
we've had a significant amount of precip.
Precipitate. Yep. Well, people are anticipating. Uh-oh. Josh.
Josh just dropped
I think he off. Pulled the plug while he was on his Stairmaster. Oh, there he is. He's back. There you are. You dropped out for a moment.
Well, I was like, oh, what the heck just happened here?
But, yeah, no, I'm actually considering going and rescuing the Mustang for the whole year now.
Oh, yeah?
This weekend. Yep. I pull it out of storage.
I drove a Charger for a year once. It was my dad's Charger, and mm-hmm. I didn't have a car, and he was like, yeah, you can borrow this. And I remember trying to get up the driveway a couple times, and sometimes I just had to park on the cul-de-sac because it's like, this thing isn't getting up this driveway.
Yeah.
So just a little tiny bit of ice. Cars like that, a rear-wheel drive car.
Yep.
Well, even my driveway right now, I drive a Nissan Kicks, which is barely above a sedan in terms mm-hmm. of, power and clearance and that sort of thing. And I'm pretty sure it's rear-wheel drive as well. And I have had to back out of the driveway and gun it up that thing and then stop just in time to not slam into my garage.
That's tires. All down to the tire, your tires.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. 100%.
Tires. What about chains? You gotta have winter tires.
I have all year tires or whatever. Those aren't good enough.
Not really.
Not for the winter.
Hmm. But winter's part of the year.
Not for the snow.
They should be called 3/4 of the year tires.
Yeah, I mean, I got what I call winter wheels. So both the wheel and the tire, I change them out. Every 6 months.
Yep. They're like a Blizzak tire, Josh, type?
Yeah, it's a Blizzak type tire. Yep. And they're just tremendous.
They do work.
Particularly, they work so well.
Hmm. Yep. Might have to look into it. I've never changed a tire in my life. I'm afraid of the jack.
Well,
you don't have to change the tire. There are people that will do that for you. There are companies that will do that for you.
On the side of the road.
Even store the tire.
Yep.
For you.
Not all of us are financial advisors, Josh. We can't afford these
things. That's why, as your dad said, you need somebody like me. Now here, 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. You always get straight talk, not sugar-coated advice. There.
You got another plug in. Way to go.
There we got it. Got the other plug in. You got the phone number, Andy, so you call me up. We can arrange your budget so you can put some money away into your retirement account so you'll have something in the future. In the meantime, you'll have some extra money to afford the tires and wheels and have somebody change them out. You're an important guy.
Yes. In the grand scheme.
And you need to keep the economy going.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not that expensive to do that.
No.
Nope.
It's, what did we pay? It's, we'll say it's about $125.
Yep.
To change out the tires and keep them stored.
Oh, for you to keep them. Okay. Because it's so, like your wheels are probably going to run about $100.
Oh, no.
The actual rim wheel, and then the tires are a couple $100, but.
Yeah, once you have them, they're good for.
For years.
Good for 3 to 4 years.
Yep. Well, I guess if you only use them for 3 months out of the year, that makes sense.
Yep.
So they don't.
And most people, when it comes to tires, I do not believe change them.
Often
change
enough.
Them out enough.
Yeah. They weigh. The 16th of an inch is like an illegal tire tread depth. 1/8 of an inch is a good tire tread depth. So
why don't they just make them like 3-inch?
Nice and thick. They do, but they're on the big trucks that guys are compensating for something.
They're not going to fit on a Nissan Kicks?
Oh, they might make them if you just do a little digging on it.
Do a lifted Nissan Kicks. There you go. I've seen a lifted Prius before.
Did you really?
Like, it's very like. It had to have been 2 feet off the ground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That had to be the oddest thing around.
Very interesting thing to do.
I've seen pictures of guys who put, like, pickup tires on Mustangs, too.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
Pickup tires on a Mustang?
Yeah.
Why?
Good traction,
something
I guess.
Different.
Or that. I mean, if I had the money, I'd probably do something weird like that. Get, like, a little dinky car and kit it out just because it's funny.
Yeah, it's anything different.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Why is it that you can't put those neon underlights in anymore?
Because it is a distraction.
I guess that. Well, but so are 5,000 watt pickup headlights.
Well, so. But they're not allowed to turn those on the road either.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of them do.
A lot of them do.
The worst thing is when someone in a lifted pickup truck gets behind you with their high beams on.
Oh, it's
yeah, it sears your retinas.
Because that's right at your eye level.
Yep, sure is. It goes right into your eyes.
No, it's very true. I'm trying to find the picture, Josh, of the lifted Mustang for you with the pickup.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Mike from Blaine says he saw a lifted Miata.
I'm just thinking, you know, Tom has got
lifted Miata. Oh yeah.
You know, he's got a a Mustang, but I think Andy, your dad's got an electric Mustang.
He has both,
and he's got the 5.0.
He has a normal one. Mustang. I think it's like a 2010 or something.
2013. Yeah, he and I have had this discussion.
About it.
Yes,
but then at home, up north, he has, I forget, he's changed his car so many times.
Yeah, he's got.
An electric car. I forget what it is though.
It's the electric Mustang.
It is a Mustang. Yep.
Okay.
But he says it doesn't look like a Mustang anymore. They've changed the design. It's not that classic muscle
basically
car.
Basically, SUV. Yeah. Now. Yeah.
Everything is an SUV now.
Yep.
Like I said, even my kicks, it looks like an SUV.
BMW M5. My BMW M5 2013 is not an SUV. Does not look like an SUV.
It doesn't,
not going
Josh.
To be an SUV.
You don't like SUVs?
What do I need an SUV for?
Sports? Utility?
I have a trunk in my car.
Oh,
my car has a trunk.
I don't know.
If I empty the trunk out, it holds a lot of stuff.
Try having another kid. See what you say then.
Well, let's see. Try having another kid. I've got 3 grandchildren.
There you go. Yeah.
Soon,
take care of them
4.
For a month. You're going to be like, oh, God, I wish I had a minivan.
No. It's a 4-door car. When my kids were younger, you know, much younger, open the back doors and put them in the back seat.
Oh, the
As
thing
matter
about-
of fact, when the kids were younger, I had a my favorite car was my little Honda Prelude, 2-door, and I had 2 car seats in the back. That was a little interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the thing about when you were raising kids and when I was a kid is that you were out of a car seat by the time you were like, what, 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Now it's almost 12 years old.
Yep. That's
yeah.
true.
Can you imagine having a car seat in your car for the next 12 years?
It's the height. It's 4'9".
And the weight. Yep. And they have to be rear facing. And Ethan is the size of a 3-year-old, and he still has to be rear facing.
Yep.
Whereas in 30 years ago, he'd be like almost graduating to a booster seat.
Well, and he keeps growing the way he is. He's going to be, you know, in a forward facing seat probably in the next 6 months if he keeps going.
Yeah, because that.
I wondered, the only time I was in a rear facing seat was in my parents' had a station wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
In
back
the back.
In the, back in the back, way back of the station wagon.
I don't think you can even do that anymore.
There was no...
No seat belts,
there was, mm-hmm. There were no seat belts.
Nope.
Can't do that anymore.
Mom and Dad
I'm
had a...
I try to think. There's some jokes about that.
Mom and Dad had a 1972 station wagon, Ford LTD station wagon, with the seats in the back where the spare tire goes. Yep.
Was it ever technically legal to sit in the back of a pickup truck?
It's not illegal to do it.
It's not?
You know?
Oh, wow. I guess you take your own life in your own hands.
Exactly. You know, well, nowadays with the seatbelt laws, it is.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So, it's like, so you have to wear a seatbelt, but you can sit in the back of
years,
a pickup.
Years ago, it was, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
So my dad was never big on that, though. He was, Get in a cab.
No, I think we might have done it one time. It's not a pleasant experience.
No.
It's loud, very windy, you know, and every bump you're like, am I going to die? And you might.
Well, the amount of times I've sat on tailgates going down the road.
Plenty safe.
Oh, yeah. Boy. But that was, again, I grew up in the 70s, mm-hmm. so.
Things were different.
And you turned out okay.
More or less.
For the most part. But no, that was, you know, when I bought my Mustang in 07, you were talking about kids and everything else. My wife and I had a big discussion, and she wanted me to get a Charger. And the Charger I wanted was way too expensive. The Mustang I wanted was much more affordable. And it literally took picking out my dad's headstone for her to say, if you don't do this now, you're never going to do it.
Yep.
Go buy your car.
Wow.
And that's how I ended up with the car that 17 years old now and still driving it. So
every time I buy something that I want to last forever, it never does. I think I buy things and I'm like, okay, this is going to be my last whatever for the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then it breaks in two. So
everything's become
lucky.
Disposable nowadays.
Well, that's true.
You probably take care of the thing. Of that car.
Well, the thing is, you bought it before everything had a microchip in it, and that is what tends to fail in modern cars, is those, because every single thing, the headlights have their own circuit, the windows have their own circuit, everything's got a circuit, and if any of those circuits breaks in the right way, it causes a problem in the whole chain.
The cascade effect.
Yep. Exactly. So everything starts freaking out because they're like, oh, no, something's wrong, and then the car kind of just stops working, and you have to get that replaced, and then there was less to break 15 years ago.
Yep. Oh, it's my car doesn't even have it. All it has is a CD player.
How about an 8-track?
No
8-track.
No 8-track?
No 8-track. That would be the classic Mustang you want to get.
Oh, okay. When did they stop doing 8-tracks in cars, like the 80s?
Oh, yeah. No, 70s.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever actually ridden in a car with an 8-track.
Kind of, but Mom and Dad were big on 8-tracks. I never owned an 8-track.
Oh, you know what?
Tapes.
You had that Ford.
Cassettes, yeah.
That Ford, what is it, LTD station wagon?
It did not have a factory 8-track. Dad put an 8-track player into it, aftermarket.
Pretty fancy.
I wonder if that's happened with my friend Eugene Bell. His dad had a regular, big Ford Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably mid-60s. And he had an 8-track. Now, he might have
added that later.
Added that later.
No, my dad added 8-tracks to the car and his truck. And I remember going out and finding a converter that you could put a cassette tape in and put it in the 8-track player.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So it didn't have great sound quality.
Well, no.
But it worked.
Not. Yeah, Melissa and I recently reminisced about a add-on you could have. So you could plug your iPod into a cassette tape and put the cassette tape in the cassette player.
Yep.
And it would play tracks from your iPod.
Yep.
And at the time, we were like, this is the most futuristic thing that exists.
We had one of those when the kids, because the kids got iPods.
Yep. That was like everyone had an iPod for a long, or a Zune.
And I think I still have my iPod in a drawer somewhere from
can't,
the one
can't
that
get
I
rid of it?
No, well, it's like, what are you going to do with it?
Donate it to a museum in 30 years?
It. Play music.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, is your phone does everything an iPod does times a million. So.
Exactly. So now with my car, I do have the auxiliary cable or auxiliary plug.
Yep.
So
we use Android Auto.
Yep. I plugged that in and routed the cord, hid the cord. So I just push a button and it Bluetooths to my phone.
Yep.
But it's plugged into the auxiliary. So
mm-hmm.
That's how I use mine.
Yeah.
In my car. My truck now has Bluetooth. My wife's car has Bluetooth Explorer, so.
And here it was, the reason that I started buying Apple in a very serious way back in 2004.
The iPod?
Was the iPod.
Yep.
And I noticed, and when my boys, bought my daughter an iPod for high school graduation. I said, this really is a thing. And I did more research because at the time, Apple was, they had about a 5, maybe 6% share of the computer market.
That low?
It was very low. And it's, well, now it's not much. I don't think Apple has more than a 10% share in the computer market.
Well, I mean, it depends on the feel because, like, yeah, every computer in the country, because, like, enterprise businesses, they're not going to be buying Macs. But, like, Macs were very big in schools when I was a kid.
Correct.
Every school had to get an iMac. That was, like, the thing. If your school had an iMac, you were part of the cool kids' school.
Okay. Well, and Apple was sitting then on a lot of cash. I think the cash in 2004 might have been equal to or slightly less than the market value of the stock. And they had these iPods. And I looked and said, well, the iPod costs $500. People are paying by the song 99 cents.
Yep.
Apple gets 33 cents.
I remember.
For each song that's downloaded. And then what cemented the deal to me was my daughter, several months later, is at Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin in Madison. She calls me hysterically. Her iPod does not work.
Oh,
why
no.
doesn't it work?
Put it in
got
rice.
Got water on it.
Yep, there you go. I knew it.
Have to replace the iPod.
Yep.
Replace the iPod. Now we have to replace the music.
Yep.
And I'm such a dumb dad. Well, let's see. How many other kids are going to go through this deal?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to add more revenue to Apple. And you've got the recurring revenue from the music. This is a heck of a deal. Plus, they'll sell a few computers on top of that. And they'll probably get into a few other things as well, which they did in 2007 with this little device that I'm holding in my hand,
yep.
and probably several other people are holding in their hands, and they really can't part with it. And like I said, I was down in Tampa last weekend, and my two granddaughters, I did not see them any time without their iPhone. We went down to the beach at St. Petersburg Beach. The phones came with. Thinking, you're on the beach. Nope. Gotta have the iPhone. Can't be out of touch.
Nope. Never.
Without that phone. We go to dinner. Well, can we see your faces? Sure. And turn on your phone. You can see our faces.
No, I remember when I was a kid, that was like the futuristic thing. It's like, oh, in 100 years, everyone's going to be talking to each other with video chat.
Yep.
And I was like, there's no way that's ever going to happen.
No,
well, it did.
You want future. I mean, I wear that on my wrist, and I'm thinking of an old cartoon, Dick Tracy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or James Bond
yep.
with his multifunctional watches. Yeah,
yep.
absolutely.
Dick Tracy always
go.
Talked into his communicator watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got that right now on my wrist. And I can tell time. It's a stopwatch. It's a phone. It's a walkie-talkie. Plays music. This is a great. Oh, and also is a heart monitor.
Yep.
Heck of a device.
If you ever go into AFib, you'll know it.
And they run on. You're talking about microprocessors. They run on chips.
Yep.
And chips are big. Right now,
everything runs. My toothbrush runs on. It's got a little chip in there. Everything yeah. in the world's got a little chip in it.
Man,
And semiconductors are big right now. Semiconductors and technology are deflationary, not inflationary. And right now, there is a huge amount of money flowing into certain chips that power up generative artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm.
GPUs are big for that.
Yeah, these GPUs being used for generative artificial intelligence were first being used to mine Bitcoin,
yep.
And other cryptocurrencies, mm-hmm. which I'm not in favor of.
No, me either. So, they're too volatile.
Yeah, sell the cryptocurrencies, and you can buy chips, or you can take a look at companies that utilize all these chips. And artificial intelligence is going to be, I'll say the use of it is going to be big, and it's, some people are looking at it as the next wave of industrial revolution.
How about, so in the context of Bitcoin, you don't like it because it's not backed by anything, which is the same reason I don't like it.
Correct.
But there's a lot of countries out there that are looking into making an official cryptocurrency. And once that, so let's say America creates, the America coin or whatever. At that point, would you recommend it or still no?
What, instead of having a paper dollar, I have a crypto dollar?
Well, not instead of, but in addition to. It's kind of like how banks functionally digitize your currency. You give your paper money to the bank and it becomes a number in a computer.
Right.
The America coin would be the same thing. You transfer it into this digital currency, and then you can trade it with other people online rather than having to send it through Venmo or whatever. But it's backed by the American government.
That's a different thing, because it's backed by,
exactly,
we'll say, the full faith and credit of the United States Treasury.
Mm-hmm. Although so is the dollar, and that's inflating like hell, so I don't know. The dollar is barely more stable than Bitcoin at this point.
Yeah, the dollar goes up and down depending on how many dollars are available.
I wish it would go down.
Weaker dollar is better for our, I'll say, for exporting companies as opposed to importing companies. And we need some more exports. But yeah, inflation has actually been coming down. Speaking of inflation, Federal Reserve will probably keep their interest rates higher for longer, unless inflation comes a lot closer and stays a lot closer to their 2% target, and then they'll probably, then they can back off. Now, the other fear is that the Fed is keeping interest rates too high for too long, and that could induce economic slowdown, and by the time the Fed gets around to cutting rates, we could be in a recession. But a recession is defined as two straight quarters, mm-hmm. of negative GDP growth. But we have not had two straight quarters of negative GDP growth since the first 6 months of 2022. So we'll say 2 years ago at this time, we had our first quarter of negative GDP growth. So we're still in a positive GDP growth period of time. And you can say inflation nonetheless has been coming down, but it's still above the Fed's 2% target. Rents, equivalent rents are starting to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the part of the country you're in, they could be coming down a lot faster because there's a lot more, we'll say, product on the market in terms of apartments.
Yeah.
So that starts freezing rents and even bringing them down. Now we have had wages, which have been also stabilizing and even coming down a little bit. Today's jobs report did show an increase in jobs. We had about 223,000 jobs, so that was a little bit above estimates. But the jobs numbers from December and January were revised downward. The unemployment rate went up from 3.7% to 3.9%. As I said, wages are not growing at the rate they once were. So I'll say they're more stable.
Is that a good thing, and Josh, or is that?
Well, that's a good thing for the Federal Reserve in terms of looking at what they're going to do with interest rates. But it's a bad thing, Super Dave, because the costs of buying, food, the cost of going out to eat, and the cost of, underwear are still going up. So depending on how much money you're actually making and or savings. Oh, the other thing that is still going up, because you brought this up earlier, is taxes are going up. So people may not have as much money to spend unless wages, continue to go up at least a little bit. But that's an inflationary number. If wages stabilize and if rents stabilize, and those are the two biggest things in the CPI number, then inflation overall comes down, and then that gives the Fed a reason to say, we're going to drop interest rates 25 basis points. And let's say the first time they do that could be in May, maybe in June. Okay. So in terms of interest rates coming down, we'll say that's a good thing. In terms of you as a worker, wages not going up in an inflationary environment is not so good.
Well, yeah, and I guess the more towards what I was wondering with the minimum wage or McDonald's workers getting paid $15 an hour, is it easier for the business owners to stay in business, basically?
Well, it's still tough for a business owner to stay in business and hire a business owner such as McDonald's. They can stay in business because they can start shifting costs around. So if wages get too high, so you're not going to find a kid willing to work for $15 an hour, maybe you have to pay a kid $20 an hour. Then you as a McDonald's owner start saying, well, wait a minute. I can go buy a machine
to do this. Yep.
That'll take, I can buy a machine, and my cost of recovery for that machine is less than a month. That'll take the order. And all I need now is somebody to cook the food.
Which it can also be automated.
Pack it up.
Thinking the same thing, Andy. Mm-hmm.
They have, I think, there's a fully automated McDonald's somewhere. Well, you go ahead. I have to look up this automated McDonald's I read about.
It's No, I'm just going to say, I'm just taking McDonald's as a, instead of having, we'll say, 10 employees working at McDonald's, I'll get by with five to do the same job.
So what about
overall,
for like...
Overall, that's not really good for the overall economy, because I've eliminated five jobs at a, we'll say, at a McDonald's.
What about for your
so
like...
So where are those... where are those people going to go to work?
Right. What about for like your mom and pop stores?
So that... it may not.
Uh-oh. Well, while he tries to reconnect, I can talk about the Fort Worth, Texas location of McDonald's. He's back. But so I found it. I found what I'm talking about.
Okay.
In Fort Worth, Texas, there is a McDonald's that is fully automated. So you go up to a kiosk and you order. Your food gets put into a bag by a machine, and when you drive up to the cashier window, instead of a cashier, there's just a conveyor belt that conveys your food out to you. I think the only people who work there might still be the cooks. I don't think that's been automated yet, but that's still, you know, no more cashier, no more drive-through people. That's probably four jobs right there.
Right.
But the question is, okay, so theoretically, if McDonald's can eliminate four jobs and get the job done for cheaper, then technically the benefit to the economy would mm-hmm. be such that those people shouldn't really need to work anyway. Because the only reason we work is because society needs work to keep running. But if robots are making society run, then why? I mean, if all of our needs are met,
okay, well,
technically speaking,
ask,
we don't need to do anything.
Okay, we don't. Your dad doesn't need you to run the board and make sure this program works. Okay, what are you going to do to earn a living?
Well, I'm talking about on a macro scale. Once this gets to the point where everything is run by machines, theoretically speaking, won't we be in a post-scarcity society, and therefore everyone's needs can just be met by the fact that these machines are running everything for us?
Well, machines break.
Machines, yeah, we'll always need someone to maintain the machines and everything, but I think the idea of a 40-hour work week is going to become not such a popular thing probably in the next 50 years when everything is automated, everything is machines, and most things are done through the internet.
I just disagree. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. Watch some Star Trek and get back to me. Are those guys working 9 to 5?
Okay.
I don't think so. We just need replicators first.
No, they're not working 9 to 5. All those Star Trek people, they're living on a spaceship. So they're living on a machine.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
Okay.
Yet another machine.
Okay. They're living on a machine that needs to be repaired.
Yeah, that's what Jordy LaForge is for.
Flying, but I do believe it's flying through space using some type of nuclear power.
It's antimatter annihilation power.
Okay.
So
that hasn't come around yet.
No, we can make antimatter, but it costs quite a bit of energy to do, and it's really not worth it.
Okay. And they do have to grow their own food on there.
No, they don't.
It's all synthetic.
They have replicators which replicate food out of the natural carbon and oxygen and such in
and
the atmosphere.
Matter in the air. Yep.
Yep. There you go.
Okay, how do they keep the oxygen going in that ship?
It's all recycled. Same way on Earth, you know, you breathe out carbon dioxide, plants breathe out oxygen, everyone's happy.
Okay.
And that actually that's a thing that they can do, is you can make like a little chamber, and that's what they're planning on doing on Mars whenever they colonize that, which has been 10 years away for the past 100 years, but still, the theory is, I mean, if you have enough potted plants in a room with a person, you will be able to breathe for each other indefinitely. So that part's easy. It's the replicators and the antimatter.
But you do have to keep the, you do have to keep the plants alive.
You do.
And I don't know how I don't know how good a horticulturist you are.
Yeah, everyone's going to have to have a green thumb in the future, or else we're going to die.
Now, I did see the movie The Martian.
That's it.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
And that was fairly realistic, although the whole fertilizing plants with your own waste thing, very bad idea.
Yeah.
You're going to get real sick if you try to do that. But other than that, so just don't eat dehydrated crap and you'll be good. No problem.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
I do eat plant-based plant-based protein burgers.
Like Beyond Burger and stuff like that?
Yeah, Beyond Burger, Impossible Burger. They do taste pretty good.
They're actually not bad.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Beyond Burger doesn't taste like a hamburger. So if you go into it expecting this is a hamburger replacement, you're going to be disappointed. But if you go into it thinking, you know, it's, you know, relatively healthy because you're eating plants and that kind of thing, and you don't expect it to taste like a hamburger, it tastes actually pretty good. I've never had an Impossible Burger. I hear those taste very, very similar to the real thing.
Well, I've had both, but it has been about 55 years since I've had a real hamburger or hot dog or a steak.
Really?
Piece of chicken.
So you're a vegetarian?
Or whatever. I do eat fish.
You're a pescatarian.
Pescatarian, mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
and
why
I
you're
will
skinny.
Say that the. Nah.
Or maybe it's because he's perpetually on an exercise bike.
He's always doing push-ups.
Yeah, I'm always doing push-ups. And I did find that the texture and the taste of the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Meat Burger was much better than any of the other, substitute burgers that are around.
Alex says she won't eat the Impossible Burger because it's too similar to meat. She says it weirds her out.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, for what it's worth.
Yeah, the stock of Beyond Impossible is not traded, but Beyond Meat is traded. Stock did well for a brief period of time, but beyond that, it has not done very, very well.
It was a bit of a fad for a little while, yeah.
Correct. And I don't think there aren't as many restaurants that carry either the Impossible or Beyond Meat Burger as alternatives to getting a hamburger.
The only one I know is the Impossible Whopper. And I don't
I've
even know if that's
even,
still a
I've
thing.
Never even gone to a Burger King to check that out.
I haven't been
to a Burger King in forever.
It makes me sick. It's not good quality stuff.
What, the Impossible Burger?
No, Burger King and McDonald's, I can't eat them anymore. I used to all the time. But not anymore.
Obviously, I don't have a problem just putting food into my pipe, so it's like whatever. But I'll prefer Culver's over any of those any day.
Culver's, we go to Culver's almost exclusively these days.
Yep,
it's good stuff.
They've got good stuff there. Yep. Hold on, it's not. They don't even call it a milkshake there, do they?
Nope.
No, they call it a concrete mixer. Yep.
Okay, but those are good.
Those are really good. They're too good.
They're It's because they're made with that custard that they make.
Oh, yeah.
Not ice, you know, frozen ice.
Right.
Or
frozen custard.
Concentrated ice
cream
or whatever.
Yeah, two times ago we went to Culver's and we got small concrete mixers with our burgers. And we were like, this small is way too big. So last time we got minis And even that is
just
quite,
about right.
It's a lot of, it's very calorie dense, very sugar dense. You don't, I can't even imagine eating a large.
And see, for a guy, you know, like me, okay, 6'4", 300 pounds, I do the burgers. I don't like sweets. I'm not.
I've always been.
I've never loved sweets. Well, I can't say I've never been, but I've gotten so far away from liking sweet things that it's occasionally a cookie or something is good, but literally.
Well, they say that once you go off sweets for a long time, a long enough period, you kind of lose the taste for them because they seem overwhelming to you when you eat them.
I can't drink regular Coca-Cola. It's like, or Mountain Dew. It's just way too sugary for me.
Yeah, I'll have a soda maybe every 2 weeks. Yep. That's plenty for me.
Yep.
Well, if just switch to Coke Zero.
And see, I'm not a big cola fan, so it's I'll drink the Mellow Yellow Zero and like that a lot, but I'm not a big cola guy either.
Well,
it's all about
you're not the only one because, you know, Coca-Cola stock is barely up. It does pay a very nice dividend, and that dividend does grow over a period of time. So if somebody's looking for something quote-unquote safe, Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola fit in the safe category. If somebody's looking for growth in a beverage, there's Monster. And
is Monster still big?
A new company called Celsius.
Oh, yeah, Celsius. I see that everywhere. I've never had it. Is that like Bai, B-A-I?
No, it's different. Bai, I think, is more.
It's like carbonated juice almost.
Yeah, kind of like your Crystal Ice, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's more of a fruit-based where Monster is.
Well, Monster's an energy drink.
Yep.
It's basically just,
basically chemicals.
Yeah, it's acid, sugar, and caffeine in a can. But then with Celsius, is Celsius also an energy drink?
I think it is, yes.
Okay, so it's similar
and
to Monster.
And Celsius, in terms of stock performance, is the quote-unquote new Monster. But Monster's performance over the last 20 or 30 years tops all stocks.
So wait, they came out with new Monster? Does that mean in 10 years they're going to come out with Monster Classic?
Monster Classic. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I guarantee they probably are. They're going to make it look like the cans from when you grew up.
Yep.
And they're going to call it like Monster Retro or something. Yep. And they're going to make $50 billion.
Yep.
Those cans are huge.
They sure are. My friend, when he was in college, he used to drink so much of that stuff. And when I was over at his house once, I was like, sure, I'll try it. And it was called Volt, I think.
Yep.
Jolt.
Volt or?
Jolt.
Was it Jolt? The J-O-L-T. Can looked like a battery.
Jolt.
It was Jolt.
Maybe. Maybe.
Okay. That was the highly caffeinated Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I drank that stuff, and then the following night, I woke up at 3 a.m., and I felt like there was acid coating my entire esophagus, and I was like, I am never going to drink one of these again.
Yep.
And that was my experience with energy drinks.
Yeah, I'm not an energy, I love coffee, just straight black coffee. I have friends that call it soulless coffee, but
if you get good, well, yeah, if you could drink like black Folgers, sure, it's not going to taste great. But if you get like good coffee, like I used to have an espresso machine and I just make black espresso. You sip it. You're not supposed to chug espresso. You're supposed to sip it in tiny little bits,
right.
Almost like liquor. You just drink a little bit at a time and you kind of savor it. That's good stuff. But yeah, I'm not going to have that like, you know, instant coffee, mix that together, and just drink it without anything in it. That would be
no. It's you find the right brand or whatever you like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of instant coffee, why is Chock Full of Nuts called Chock Full of Nuts? Coffee isn't a nut.
Doesn't it come from a bean though?
It comes from a bean, but it should be called Chock Full of Beans then.
Well, yeah.
I never understood. I saw that at the grocery store the other day, and I was like, I need to look this up. And I never
yeah, you're gonna have to look that up because I just remember Chock Full of Nuts being not only a coffee, but also being a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, you're right. He had a store on Broadway and 43rd, and then he made 17 more, He just sold nuts to theater goers, apparently. And then he converted them into lunch counters. And because his business started with selling nuts, they introduced instant coffee, kept the name, and there you go. So no nuts in Chock Full of Nuts.
But they started out as a nuts company.
But he started out selling nuts. So there you go. There's your fun fact of the day about coffee you'll never drink.
Or as the song goes, nuts, nuts, hot nuts. You get them from the peanut man.
There you go.
What a way to end the show.
What a way to end the show. We are out of here for the week. Tom will be back Monday. Everything will be as it was. So,
well, I look forward to talking to you guys again. And for those of you who need some help with your investments, inside or outside a retirement account, give me a call. 952-925-5608. You always get straight talk, not sugar-coated advice.
And with that, we are out of here. See you on Monday.
See ya.
Have a good one.